Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure, as always. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Steve Malenga is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Steve's an old friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's contributing editor with City Journal and the senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. He's the author of a number of books, including The New Left, How American Politics Works Today. And also, he's the co-author of The Immigration Solution, among others. And he's here to talk to us about you and me. Steve Malenga, welcome back to the show.
How you doing?
It's good to have you back.
It's always nice to be back this time in the morning on Monday.
Hey, Steve, you wrote a column recently about entrepreneurship in America. And I'd like for you to tell us a little bit about what you had to say.
Well, what I was most interested in was this notion that entrepreneurship, sort of in the context of everything that's happening in Washington, particularly potential tax increases, and at the same time, simultaneously talk about how we need to spur entrepreneurship. The president himself said this in that economic speech that he gave. He mentioned entrepreneurs twice. And essentially what my column was about is it seemed to me that there's a fundamental misunderstanding in Washington about what entrepreneurship is and what really creates it, because the plans in Washington right now are to raise personal income taxes and also possibly payroll taxes, and at the same time to try to finance entrepreneurship through venture capital by perhaps even the government giving money to venture capitalists. And the point that I made in my piece is that the vast majority of new businesses in America are not formed because the venture capitalists give
right.
them money.
That's
they
right.
are, in fact, formed by people's savings.
That's right.
By the savings of your friends, your relatives, your parents. And, in fact, what studies show is that when you raise income taxes and payroll taxes, you depress or decrease the number of new startups in any particular year, precisely because what you're doing is essentially you're taxing savings,
you might
be taxing capital gains.
Right.
You're taxing the things that people use to start businesses. People don't go to Silicon Valley to start a business. I mean, very, very few people do that. Mostly Silicon Valley finances second, third generation businesses that are already underway. Rarely,
right. exactly.
a home run kind of a business. They might finance it from the startup. But the fact of the matter is that's not business in America, and I don't think Washington understands that.
Well, you're exactly right. Let me tell you something else you don't understand, when they talk about we're going to lower the capital gains rate on small businesses to zero. I mean that is proving to the world that they absolutely do not know how small business owners work, because you could have a small business, Steve, that began 40 years ago. The owners are about to retire, and until this moment, when they were about to retire, they may never have had any capital gains.
Of course, yeah, absolutely.
Here's what's so sad, is when they say that we're gonna. In fact, I heard a guy yesterday on television say, "We're gonna cut the capital gains rate to zero for small business owners." He just said, "I am a dummy when it comes to small businesses. I know nothing about small businesses."
Well, and of course, in addition to that, is that if you're simultaneously raising personal income taxes, what you're essentially doing is you are raising taxes on the profits of small businesses. So the thing that small businesses might have every year, or hopefully every year if you're lucky, is profits.
Well, right.
The thing that you
exactly.
only have perhaps, once or twice, when you sell your firm, occasionally is capital gains. So they're going to cut to zero the tax that, perhaps you pay as a small business, when what they are going to do is raise the tax that you always pay if you're
exactly.
lucky. And I read something else. There was the defense of Obamanomics that was written in the Wall Street Journal by a former Clinton administration economist. And she pointed out that, well, while it's true that a lot of most small businesses pay personal income tax rates, she said that only a very small percentage of small businesses pay or earn enough to pay the tax rates that we're going to raise.
I heard that argument. Right. But here's the and I read about that. I wrote about that too recently, Steve. And I wrote a column, and it's in my blog called "The Truth About Taxing Those Wealthy Small Business Owners." $250,000 of income is to a lot of people is a lot of money. To a small business owner, that's not much, because Steve, that includes their own salary, the owner's salary, the salary of their spouse, who may not even work for the company, and number two, as you said, the profits of the business. It doesn't take a lot of those three to add up to $250,000.
Well, that's exactly right.
And see, that's the thing that they completely miss. If they would look at the math that I pointed out in my column, and you probably did in yours, Steve, they would see that if a business puts $100,000 on the bottom line, and the employee, the owner takes $75,000, his or her spouse makes $95,000, that's over $250,000, and nobody's rich in that scenario.
Well, and that's the other issue, of course.
And I'm sorry, Steve, one more thing. That $100,000 that they had to pay taxes on, that came from the company, they don't have that in cash. It's in inventory and receivables.
Right. And the other thing is this. You know, the way we judge who's rich in America today is by their yearly income. And, you know, part of the problem with that is particularly with a small business, you could have tremendous fluctuations in your income. So, if you could have a good year, and the government's going to say, well, we're going to now take 39% of that good year. Well, that could have been your first good year in 10 years. The problem is that essentially we say, you know, you're rich because you had a good year. We don't recognize downward income mobility in America, which occurs quite a bit. And for a business owner to be able to sort of that one year where they've done really well, to be able to salt some of that away against future years, that's sort of an important backstop. But in America, it's like, okay, yep, you had your good year. We're going to take it right now from you. And I think, you know, that's something that we don't recognize either.
Well, that's another thing. You are exactly right, Steve. And I don't know why. I felt compelled to remind President Obama and some members of Congress something that Senator Paul Tsongas said before he died. He told his own party, he said, guys, you can't love the employee and hate the employer.
Ah, very good.
Take a quick break. 20 after, Steve Malanga is our good friend, our guest. He's contributing editor with the City Journal, senior fellow with Manhattan Institute. His book is called, the newest one he co-wrote, is The Immigration Solution, A Better Plan for Today's. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thanks for using it. Thanks for checking it out. Don't forget to look at my blog while you're there. Check out my knowledge base, askjim.biz. My newsletter is there. You can subscribe to it. We'll send it to you by email, get you ready for the week ahead. Oh, by the way, you can follow me on Twitter if that's the way you prefer. Many people do. Twitter.com/JimBlassingame. Steve Malanga is our guest, and he's a good friend of ours. He's with Manhattan Institute and City Journal, the author of a number of books. Steve, what would be the best way to find you online?
Probably, first of all, you know, I'm writing a column now every week at RealClearMarket.com.
RealClearMarket.com.
Markets with an S. .com.
With an S. RealClearMarkets.com, okay.
Yeah, and every day, basically, that site aggregates a commentary on the economy from really around the country and around the world. It's a new venture, and I'm writing for them, and also, of course, at the city-journal.org, which is where I spend most of my time.
All right. So, folks, check it out. You can see some of the great things that Steve writes about on a number of topics, and all of them infecting you and me and our small businesses. Steve, here's a quote from the budget. This is word for word a line out of the new budget from the new administration. While middle class families have been playing by the rules, living up to their responsibilities as neighbors and citizens, those at the commanding heights of our economy have not. Steve, what does that say to you when you hear those words?
Well, you know, again, it's a fundamental misunderstanding by people in the administration who I think just don't seem to have a lot of experience with real business people. The notion is that everybody who's not middle class is somehow or another cheating or not playing by the rules, and the perception is that everybody who's not middle class must be some kind of, you know, financial charlatan on Wall Street. But of course, you know, if you go by what they're going to where they're going to start taxing people at $250,000 of income, you know, you're going to have hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of small businesses in America that will make that much money, who are, you know, people getting up every day and just, you know, busting their hump, going to work, working 20-hour days. You know, that's who, you know, makes that kind of money. The financial markets and financial manipulation is a very, very small part of our workforce, if you will. So, you know, it's a real misunderstanding about...
Steve, one of the things I wanted, to me, if you put all this together, this quote talks about the middle class have been playing by the rules, and those who are at the heights of the economy have not. And then 2 weeks ago, the president comes on television and says, if you make over $250,000, we're going to tax you. So that sends a message to the rest of the world that if you make over $250,000 in taxable income, that means you must not be middle class. And you and I both know that that's not true.
Well, Yeah, no, that's a very interesting point, too. There's a new paper come out by an economist by the name of Moretti from the University of California at Berkeley. And what he did for the first time is he took the notion of income equality, in other words, the gains that the so-called rich are making, meaning people above $250,000, versus the gains that other people are making. And for the first time, what he did is that he looked at those gains in terms of a cost of living around the country. And one of the things he found, which he sort of had a sense of, is that a lot of people who are earning good money are earning good money in places where the cost of living is very high.
Right.
And when you figure that in, the actual income gain, the actual gap between the rich and the poor shrinks by half. So, you know, as he said, one of the things that, you know, I mean, I hear this all the time in New York, you know, we hear, you know, who's actually rich in New York? So it's a very interesting point, and his paper is going to be very influential, and I think it's going to force some people to start, you know, doing this, looking at this issue in terms of, because a lot of people particularly are drawn to different parts of the country because, you know, that's the way, you know, they're sort of drawn there by the job market, if you will, or by the opportunities, but they have to pay a price to be there. And so,
Steve, there's another thing though that I think is that I want to make sure that we talk about, and that is everybody who gets up in the morning and is willing to work hard, and who's trying to do better for their family, aspires to make $250,000 or more a year.
Right.
And if we demonize that kind of success, that's the opposite of what America needs for our future.
Well, you know, and it used to be that surveys about taxing the rich showed that a lot of middle class people were opposed to it, and the theory always was that people felt that, you know, they were that could eventually be them who are being taxed. But you know, I would say in the last 15 to 20 years, there's been so much of a sense of sort of class warfare. This is, you know, that quote that you read from the budget is just, that's what it is. It's class warfare. I think that we're, you know, we really are playing this game politically. It's, you know, us versus them. You know, you sit around and you scratch your head and you think to yourself, well, who am I? Am I an us or a them? And you know,
right.
I'd like to be one of them.
Well, it's the victimization of people that we need the opposite of victimization. We need people to start believing I'm not a victim because I'm where I am. I just haven't got to where I can, into the point that I want to be, and all I have to do is work a little harder. And in America, those possibilities are real.
Well, and the worst thing about the message, of course, is that the message is that the only way to get there is to cheat. You know, that's the underlying
right.
message.
That's another good
cheating,
point.
You know?
Exactly. Hey, Steve, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
All right, take care.
Steve Malanga, ladies and gentlemen, City Journal at city-journal.org. Check it out when you get a chance. He'll be back. I will be, too, right after these messages with a real live banker, an independent community banker. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.